Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Day two for Myles Garrett. I said last night on the show, we talked about what was going to happen, and I said the NFL has to get in front of this, or you risk this being a lingering storyline. It's, look, it's going to linger
it's
into the weekend,
yeah.
But you want it to go until the game's on Sunday, and that's it. Right? It's not, you're not going to stop it because it's such a big topic of conversation. People who don't even watch the NFL know what's going on and knew and are paying attention to this.
I had to explain it to about 10 different people that have no desire to watch an NFL down.
Zoe's teacher, who doesn't pay attention to the NFL, she's a big basketball fan. She was, I was watching last night after I heard that happen. What were you saying about it? Like, talking to her today at school, and I'm like, okay, here's what I was saying about it.
Go to the podcast.
I can't believe he did that. I can't. That's what I'm going to say. Go to the podcast. Give my kid a good grade, okay?
Well, give me some credit, back. Too. Yeah, I mean, we had a brilliant conversation.
I'm going to tell my daughter's teacher, go to the podcast. Beat it. I'm gonna do that, really.
Up those downloads. Always be closing.
Do me a favor. Click on the link to get a download. Then I'll tell you what I said. No. So, I mean, that's the example of people that don't even watch football are talking about it. It's a story that cut through. It's a story that if the NFL didn't take care of it, it runs the risk of, here's another story about the out-of-control National Football League. And the NFL hasn't had one of those stories in quite a while. Antonio Brown has been an isolated incident about a guy who has brought on his own problems, but That's not, hey, here's a cultural problem in the National Football League with people going crazy, violence after the whistle, and Myles Garrett hitting Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet after they get into it the final minute of regulation of the Browns' win. So that's been the story today, and everybody, it's everywhere you want to go, it's Myles Garrett, Myles Garrett. And I said last night, what the NFL has to do, 9 o'clock Eastern time Friday morning, announce a season-long suspension for Myles Garrett. And that will at least take care of the storyline where it will peter out over the weekend, and then we're into the games on Sunday, then we're breaking down the games, and this becomes a background story. But if you don't do anything, you risk it being something that lingers, and it looks so, the optic is just so bad, you would have many critics and pundits saying, I don't know why the NFL doesn't act. Here's the NFL, the gang that can't shoot straight anymore, and that's where the story would go. So I said, 9 o'clock in the morning, it's got to happen. Doesn't need to be a final decision on him, but it needs to be at least the rest of this season. This morning, at 9:07, so I missed it by 7 minutes, the NFL puts out the ruling that Myles Garrett indefinitely suspended, but at least for the rest of this season and the playoffs, should the Browns rally and get there, and he will need to meet with the commissioner before being reinstated to the National Football League. This is the reality for Myles Garrett. It tells me I know enough to be commissioner. I could have said it last night. I could have jumped ahead of the timeline by like 12 or 13 hours. People could have woken up this morning going, oh, the guy's suspended. What did he do? I could have done it. Evidence that I could be commissioner of the National Football League. All the other business stuff, I'll just leave to smart people. I mean, these kinds of decisions, I'll make them. The big public ones that people care about, I can do it. And then the other stuff, like the money, and which I don't understand. Like, we're talking about gross percentages, whatever. What does this mean? Is this positive or negative? Do it. Is this negative? Don't do it. I'm going to lunch. I mean, I could do the real important jobs, but the money stuff I'll leave to other people, and we'll make money, and I'll be the big public face of the NFL.
Well, they like the money part, too. I mean,
oh, I'll give them all credit
really
for it.
Like,
yeah, no. But I'll make sure we make.
But
I
just
make
saying,
sure
the
make money.
Players and
I mean,
the,
I know that
the owners and everybody love the money part.
No.
This part is muddy and wrong, and many times trying to figure out exactly where punishment sits. Because what did you see all last night and into this morning? Well, here's precedent here, here, and here. All stuff from a decade ago.
Yeah.
All stuff there's, that's all, right? Albert Haynesworth was 13 years ago. That is a lifetime ago.
That's a long time.
That is a lifetime ago in this NFL, and especially 2019 in general, right? Again, the difference of how they go through punishment within the league itself and then society as a whole and how they look at the NFL. As we've talked about over the course of the last few weeks, they'd finally gotten themselves back to, I mean, the ratings obviously have always been strong, and they're stronger this year. Fine. But all those negative stories had gotten pushed away. Sure, you had your isolated guy who acted like a jackass. Yeah, you had the Antonio Brown thing that was just confusing, especially if you weren't connecting the dots to each part of the story. If you came in the middle, you really had no idea what was going on. But the NFL, everything else had been pushed away, right? We weren't talking about concussions. We weren't talking about PEDs at all. We weren't doing any of that stuff. And now here it is front and center on, you know, Good Morning America, the Today Show, you name it. They've got to do a segment on it. It's impeachment hearings. It's local news. A tragedy, if you had one in your community, certainly here in Los Angeles, still reeling from the effects of a school shooting yesterday. So that took precedence. But then you'd inevitably get to, here's this thing in the NFL and what's happening and where's the league going. And all of those conversations start bubbling up once again of, my God, you know, look at this act and craziness. And then you had the other folks that went after Rudolph, say, well, he kicked him. Yeah, that really was what forced him to get a helmet swung at his head to hit him over the top.
We'll get to the Rudolph part, the ridiculousness of it's all Mason Rudolph. Yeah. I need a hot take because I can't think of anything else.
That's it.
So I'm just going to blame Mason Rudolph for it.
My contract said I have to be the contrarian. But
I don't have an original thought, so let me take a really bad position.
That's just it. So
try to make it seem like it actually could happen. It's Mason Rudolph's fault. Right. And I'll tell you, Myles Garrett was just trying to put his helmet back on his head.
No, that's right.
He knows that it's dangerous to be on a football field without your helmet on. He was just trying to get it back on his head so he would be safe because there was a big fracas going on. Just trying to put it on his head.
Benevolence.
That's all you need, this back on your head. He was trying to slam it right back on there.
But for Roger Goodell, a win. Browns could have had the win last night, just saying we're sitting him down indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Pending, you know, what the league wants to do, but he can't play. We want to make sure we don't have any recurrences, etc. But the league acted swiftly. You're waiting for the let's get in front of a microphone because this is a win, right? For Park Avenue, this is a win because except for the nonsensical arguments of a few who just want to do light fire to things, you have, you know, reasonable, rational people that this was an obvious call. So for Roger Goodell, I'm surprised he didn't take a full victory lap in making this announcement.
Well, I got news for you. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. You want to talk about precedent. What is the suspension eventually going to be for Myles Garrett? This is very easy to figure out. Vontaze Burfict got 12 games for his illegal hits and his career of injuring players, right? Finally, the NFL's had enough. You repeat offender, 12 games.
Pattern of abuse.
This, in and of itself, way worse, because this is not even between the white lines. This is after a play. But, pattern of abuse for him, he gets 12 games. Myles Garrett, who has also been flagged for illegal hits many times this season, twice in the Monday Night Football game against the Jets, knocked out a quarterback. Another time, he was called 2 weeks ago. He has also had a pattern of abuse. This is the worst thing we have seen. Myles Garrett, in the wording of the commissioner, is you got to meet with me before reinstatement. Obviously, he's got to go through a whole long offseason of coming back and rehabilitating his character. But if you're going to make this a true punishment of what's in line with what we've seen in the NFL, he's going to get these 6 games to end the season, and then he's going to get the first 6 games of next year. That makes it an even 12, and that puts it on par with Vontaze Burfict. Because the NFL, you know how cognizant they are of saying, if we have a punishment that is way out of whack, that causes problems with the NFL Players Association. Why is this penalty so much? Why is this penalty so little? Is it just because this is a public case? Is it so you wind up running into difficulties? You've set the standard now. The NFL's not messing around with player safety, right? You can forget that. If you think player safety is going away, it's not. You can be a defensive player that thinks, whatever, I'm going to tackle how I want to tackle, hit how I want to hit, all these good things. No, you're going to get a big penalty, and you're going to get a big fine. And here's Vontaze Burfict, who got 12. And if you really think that Myles Garrett's going to walk away from that situation with only 6 games, he's getting 6 here, then he's getting 6 to begin the regular season next year. And then he's going to be able to come back, and then it'll be come back to the NFL. You sit 6 games, and then we'll see where you are, and then we'll reinstate you. But it's going to be 6 here and 6 off the top.
See, I thought it'd be a full season. So 16, and then you can go and have the NFLPA do their thing, or 2 of those games, or 4 of those games, whatever it is. So maybe you get back down to 12, but that it's a nice round, you lose a year. You just happen to have committed this midway this year, so it's split. And that's, you know, punitive, and the team really has to take a hit, because a $250,000 fine, that's no hit, right? That's okay. Embarrassment. They've been embarrassed for, you know, the 112 penalties they've been called for over the course of the year, 87 accepted, by the way, a number you will hear a number of times over the course of the evening tonight. But the idea is you want to make sure, not that you see anything like this with regularity, but this is really to just show we've got control. And this is how we go after it, whether it's 10, another 6, as you say, get to 12, or a full season. You've got to go outside those parameters, because a lot of folks were looking for that 4-6 overall.
But here's the thing, and this is why I don't think that's going to happen. The NFL wants this punishment to go through without a fight from the NFLPA, right? So if you put it's going to be 6 games here,
but
and
they
it's
have
going
to
be
appeal,
6 games. Right? No, I get
but
it.
But just
yes,
by
yes, of course,
even if it's a rubber stamp.
But even if it's a rubber, they don't want to go through a real controversy. And if they go 6 games and then 6 games beginning of the year, the NFLPA, which can't defend Myles Garrett, they can say, well, Vontaze Perfect got 12. This is the new standard. It's going to be 12 games. Okay, here's our appeal, just because we stand up for the players, but we're not going to go crazy. But you make it a whole season, and then suddenly then the NFLPA says it's not about Myles Garrett. Suddenly now it's, all right, if another, the next instance that comes up that maybe isn't as black and white, you're telling me that it's going to be a season for a guy, and that's way too much. You're talking about taking a lot of money out of his pocket. You're talking about violating his rights. And then it becomes a situation of not because Myles Garrett was right, but because, oh, now you're really out of whack because of the suspension you had here, this is in line, but you want to cost a guy a half a season and another basically whole season, then we have an issue with it, and then we look into it.
Well, and they can have an issue all they want. It's an isolated incident of a guy losing his mind and potentially creating a devastating situation. Now, but for the grace of God, it didn't. Well, I'm assuming Rudolph checks out in his medicals, but you know, Perfect was repeated dirty hits within plays, or what the whistle has blown and he just finishes the job. This is so far beyond the pale that it can go beyond 12 games. And I think we can all reasonably say that.
If Mason Rudolph was really hurt, then I would say yes. But there's going
to
be a big
faction
of...
But why do you have to wait for that to happen?
I know, you don't. It doesn't make sense. But if he was really hurt, you could see a lifetime ban. You know, which it could have been. He could have been in life-saving surgery last night. But the fact that he was okay, just however obliquely that seeps into your brain, it's okay, well, the guy turned out to be okay, and so the penalty can be this and this. If what he suffered was worse, then yeah, I could see a lifetime suspension for him. But it's not, and right or wrong, that's going to play into the discipline for him. The fact that he does a press conference right after, and he's okay, and you know, he's not blameless in what went on, but certainly the degree, if you're taking a big blame pie out, he's like, you know, 0.01% of it.
Blame pie.
So, but if that was the case, I would say, yeah. But with those couple of mitigating circumstances, I'm pretty confident saying 6 and another 6.
Well, whatever comes down, I mean, the league is, everybody's going to decide they're wrong. So, you know, because you are, to some degree, still making this up as you go, right? Trying to figure out new precedents and where that line of demarcation is. Because even on the stuff that they had, quote, nailed down, it still seems relatively arbitrary on a case-to-case basis as these flow through the system.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
How about we tell you how Colin Kaepernick's workout is going to go tomorrow in front of up to at least potentially more than 24 teams who are going to attend Colin Kaepernick's workout.
How about new?
Right. This was first reported as maybe 11, 13 teams, now 24.
Well, I mean, it was Thursday, and they said, hey, it's only Thursday, exclamation point. We've got at least 11 teams.
It's going to be in Atlanta.
Yep.
Kaepernick's been working out. And I'd like to think at the end of the day, there's going to be 32 teams or at least 31 because, the you know, being with the 49ers, we're not going to go down that road again.
Panthers said they're not sending anybody.
I would like to think that someone would be there simply because it's an easy way to not get bad publicity. because no matter what happens, there's going to be a large faction of people and critics and fans who are going to say, oh, how was this team not there? How are you not even there to look at Colin Kaepernick, who was blackballed from the NFL? And many people who share these opinions have blue check marks, are influential people. Why would you invite that when you can send anybody to go, hey, go to Atlanta tomorrow, watch them work out, and then come back? Well, do I need to take notes? No. Do I need any? Hey, intern Steve, can we send an intern on a flight? Oh, he'll love it. Hey, Steve, how'd you like to go to Atlanta tomorrow and scout Colin Kaepernick? I don't even like football. I'm doing this for the legal experience. It's all right. Just do your homework while you're watching. It's fine. Make it look like you're taking notes, and then just fly back.
Well, you saw your guys not sending anybody either.
No.
Jerry Jones said we don't need to.
We would do it, but thing is, I'm hoping to get Tony to get a workout. So if I can get him out of the booth,
well, he is going to be a free agent.
Yeah, just made some money, and now maybe can come back and help Dak a little bit. But no, Jerry Jones is not going because he's the one who helped the NFL lead their way to how do we deal with players who are kneeling. And he made it seem like he was on the player's side, but he's really on the owner's side. He was very noncommittal, very slippery was Jerry Jones during the whole Colin Kaepernick thing.
But look at where it ended up. Michael Bennett goes to Dallas.
He's slippery.
And he's standing.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what the team wanted. The players wanted that. And so he went along. So now you've got Stills and you've got, well, Kaepernick if he gets back in. Right? And maybe one or two other guys peripherally. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have all these representatives in there. We're going to get glowing reports, I'm sure, from sources, and then it goes into the ether.
No, and that's where I think you are wrong. In fact, that's where I know is not going to happen.
Oh, no, but it doesn't mean that they're legitimate reports of what actually transpired.
He looked
this
great.
Just becomes he really the... Really didn't. But there's going to be that narrative because for those that are crusaders for Kaepernick and the cause... And there's plenty of them on social media and on Twitter and that run websites that, talk about pro football.
I get that.
They're going to be getting that fed that information because it'll stay unfair.
No, and here's why. Yes, because I agree. But the NFL is going to be very transparent with this workout for Colin Kaepernick tomorrow. And first of all, I'll tell you how it's going to go. He's going to look bad.
You got Hugh Jackson running it, right? Joe Philbin involved.
He's going to look bad because the guy hasn't been on a field in 3 years. And no matter what he can say about I'm working out, I'm ready, nobody knows what he looks like on the field. Nobody does. Nobody. He's had a couple of chances in the past few years where a team has brought him in, looked at him, not signed him. Obviously, there could be other nefarious type things at work. But no one has said he looks really good. He's been away from the game for 3 years. How are you going to look in a workout when scouts, they know what they're looking for? It's a scout's dream. I want to go see a guy. I want to go see Kaepernick. So the people they're sending are going because it's some kind of curiosity. I really want to see if this guy's got anything. I want to see. And they're going to see someone who hasn't played in 3 years. How good are you going to be at something if you haven't done it in 3 years? I would not take the garbage out as well if I haven't taken the garbage out in 3 years. I'd go grab it and I'd go, oh, back. No, I took the garbage out today, man. Come on, I do stuff around the house. Get off my back. I'd go, oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know they had all these new fancy ties on the garbage, and I could tie it up like this. Oh, and they could just pull it out. Oh, it's double ply. Oh, we don't have, Don Rickles is not just going to get mad at me anymore, and the bags just don't rip. Oh, they're really strong. Okay. Anything you don't do for 3 years, how good are you going to be at it? Especially in the National Football League, when guys can miss a month and be rusty and not look good. He's going to look bad, and the NFL is not going to allow misappropriated stories of how good Kaepernick looked to be out there. Everything is on tape. Everything is public. They're going to say, listen, we'll give you video of it, because what they want to see is they want to see Kaepernick suck, and they want to see him saying, see? There's no reason to sign him anymore. His story is over. It's over. And everybody who goes to that workout tomorrow is going to walk away going, yes, it's over for Colin Kaepernick. That's what the NFL wants. There'll be no way you're going to get some dude from a scout major dude 24/7 love scout, hate scout, scout. You're not going to get anybody from those websites that are going to be able to say, oh, he looked really, really good, and I think he's better than half the second. No, that's not going to happen.
No, but the problem is the narrative will remain because if he doesn't look good, it's going to be, well, it was a rigged game. Right? Short notice, not with a full complement of real receivers, wasn't planned to where they could get this planned out properly. Look, all the excuses are already written. I mean, those blogs are ready to be published as soon as the final words come out of his mouth in the interview portion or workout or whichever comes last. That's it. I mean, you know that as well as I do. Those guys that have been banging the drum or the trash can all this while are still going to be doing so, regardless of what the reality is. Because unless we all get to see the full tape, there's going to be enough to obfuscate reality.
Now, there will be enough. And will there be people who say, oh, now give him another chance, give him another chance to come back, give him another chance? But that's going to fall on deaf ears because the guy's had 3 years. If he really wanted to get back in the NFL, he would have scheduled a workout before now.
And if it goes well, you know what? He's not signing a contract. He's going to end up flying somewhere on a Tuesday. So we'll be going NORAD, since it is the holiday season, to track his whereabouts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So with the Myles Garrett situation now solved, suspended for the rest of this season, potentially longer after hitting Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet after he yanked it off his head, who does this really become about right now? Well, I got a hint for you. First, let's listen to Baker Mayfield from today after it was announced Myles Garrett was out. He said, we got to circle the wagons. People are going to think we're dysfunctional and out of control.
I said it on the field after. It's inexcusable. He knows that. There's no other way around it. He's going to own up to it. He's going to handle it. And this locker room is going to have to come together because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season. So we have to be a disciplined team. We have to address it. We have to handle it. We have to come together, and we have to play football.
Okay, first of all, stop. You have been a soap opera the entire season.
The media.
Like, I'm calling you something it's not. Like, stuff has been made up about you. Just stop with that. All right, Baker Mayfield, you had a good night last night after the game. Don't make me have to just tell everybody what it's
you were going to turn right back on him,
come
on. You?
So there's that.
You're going to flip or flop.
Flip. You can flip-flop or you can flop. So that's Baker Mayfield talking about now we have to figure out who we are, and we've got to prove to everybody we're not dysfunctional. Well, here's former Browns offensive coordinator Todd Haley, never shy to let his opinion out there, on SiriusXM NFL earlier today saying, oh, the Browns' problems, oh, I know what they stem from.
This, to me, this comes back to coaching. This falls squarely right on the head coach because the head coach talks to every assistant coach who then talk to their groups of players. And there's an old saying in coaching, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And when you allow stuff like this to go on, and I'm not saying this particular taking somebody's helmet off and hitting them with it is going on, but I've been on those fields in Cleveland, and part of the frustration is you see things happening and going on that you shouldn't be allowed to be going on.
So that's Todd Haley earlier today. Obviously, does Todd Haley have an axe to grind? What team doesn't he have an axe to grind against?
Exactly.
But Freddie Kitchens is completely out of his depth when it comes to being a head coach in the NFL. The Browns hired him thinking all he's got to do is call the right plays for Baker Mayfield. That's all we got to do. And it's, oh, wait, being a head coach is actually more than that. Oh, I didn't see that. Tell me you watch him coach and he gives you the impression that he has things under control and the players pay attention to him. There's a big question that is always asked around election time, whether it's for the president, whether it's for the governor, whatever it is. And anybody who is doing polling for these politicians, they always ask the same question. Do you see candidate X as a strong leader? And that's always the most important one, because if you're seen as a strong leader, even if you make mistakes, people will still back you because they like the way they like you being a strong leader. You give that impression of a strong leader. I ask you, if I was calling people trying to do polls on the Browns and I said, does Freddie Kitchens exude strong leader? What would you say? Oh, well, yeah, no, not at all. He's just a guy that's answering questions after the game. A guy that's trying to see which way the wind is blowing. Don't want to offend my players. Doesn't really know which way to act. Doesn't know how to come down on them hard. Doesn't know how to let them how to let things go and let them figure things out. He just does not exude strong leader. And if you're not a strong leader, you're not going to be the head coach long. He's the next guy this is going to be about. And short of a run in which they win the next five games in a row and get back into the race, which they could in theory and on paper, because the schedule is that easy, but in reality, the Browns are going to fall over their own feet. But unless that happens, you know he's gone, and this just exacerbates it.
Now, I think when it goes down to it, we already mentioned the stat, but because it's so fun, we'll do it again. A total of 87 penalties and a net loss of 347 yards in penalties when you talk about what they've benefited from versus those accepted. They've been flagged a total of 112 times. So discipline has been an issue. We've had a number of late hits. You saw it yesterday several times in the game, one that led to an ejection and Deontay Johnson bleeding out of his ear. Remember, Woozy couldn't get up, had to be carted off, all of that bad scene, and it goes away until the final 8 seconds of the game, and then we see this incident between Rudolph and Myles Garrett. So you have those blowups. You've seen Garrett threw punch at Delanie Walker back at the beginning of the season, picked up a couple of personal fouls against your Jets, broke Trevor Siemian's leg. Just keep going on down the line. You've had them on the edge the whole time. And from a discipline standpoint, when you need to not play behind the chains, they haven't been able to do it. I think of the old Herman Edwards, because we love Herman Edwards and the things he's always said. Freddie Kitchens, as you mentioned, he knew he had talent. Right? Offensively, you got a lot of star power. And Njoku gets hurt, unfortunately. You had to wait half a year for Kareem Hunt to pair him up with Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, the first guy to go over 1,000 yards on the year. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You got Jarvis Landry. You had what you thought, Callaway, but now he's done, and he's got a 10-game suspension to go with it. But you had all sorts of skill position guys to go with Baker Mayfield. Here's the problem. As Herm Edwards always said, it's very easy to sweep the middle of the floor. Right, it's all the crap you can see. Problem is, most folks don't bother to sweep the corners. That's something Freddie Kitchens has not done at any point in the preseason, during the offseason, and sure as hell for the first 11 weeks of this year. They have not gone into the corners and gotten the rest and rooted out the rest of the cat hair, dog hair, their own human hair, dead skin piles, crumbs, whatever you got going.
What do you got in the corner of your house? Like it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It just happens, buddy.
All the brains and all the blood, you just sweep all that out.
Well, you buy a distressed property, you're going to have some of that.
You keep giving Grandpa the hammer, he keeps dropping it. Leatherface is not even around.
Wow.
Just picturing the living room, the dinner scene from Jane, where she's just screaming and the relatives are all just joking around with each other. That's the Browns.
It is a classic. But that is the Browns. You're not looking in cleaning up the corners to where you can be a fully functional organization and move forward. And that's where Freddie Kitchens is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We do it every week here on the show. We give you our upset special picks for the week in college football and the National Football League.
Cleveland!
We do one, not Cleveland, one top 25 game in college football, one NFL game, 1-1 last week, 12-8 overall. College football, I'm going to go big game hunting. I'm going to take Auburn 3.5 over Georgia. Both defenses are great. Auburn runs the ball really well. Georgia just seems to be missing something this year. Jake Fromm is not having a big year. You're watching him tumble through mock drafts down to the end of the first round. He's not been dynamic. You know, Nix is pretty good. He's young, but I think he can make enough plays. This is going to be a defensive slog fest, one of those typical 13-10, 16-14 type SEC games. I'll take Auburn on the field with the win. I'll still take the points, Auburn on the field.
No, I dig that. That was one that I had certainly circled along the board for the same reasons, looking at those quarterbacks getting a bit of a run. Plus 17.5, though, I'm going with the Kansas Jayhawks.
Whoa, look at you.
We're talking big game. I'm taking all 17 and a half of them.
Wow.
But changing the coordinator a couple of weeks ago, they stubbed their toe against Kansas State ahead of the bye. But before that, narrow 2-point loss to Texas, 50-48, 37-34 win over Texas Tech. I think Les Miles got them ready during the bye week, and they come out shooting.
You know, I really wanted to have the guts to look at, okay, can I really take Rutgers getting 53 against Ohio State? I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
You still see it as a 65-0 burial. I know.
Well, and plus the fact they beat Maryland by 60, and Maryland beat Rutgers by 60, yeah. So I couldn't do it.
All right.
National Football League.
Transitive property there.
I am taking Tampa Bay getting 6 over the Saints. Tampa Bay plays New Orleans tough. New Orleans got injuries on the offensive line, in the secondary. Tampa's going to score a lot of points. We know they're not going to give up anything on the ground because they're the best run defense in the NFL. I think Drew Brees struggles enough, and I see this as one of those games where I can see Tampa with a 38-28 type victory in this game. I'll take Tampa on the field, but I'll still take the 6 points.
I dig that. Remember, Lattimore missing this one, too. So either Evans or Godwin
it's gonna be Evans.
Is having themselves
it's
a
he was
day.
On Evans the last game.
Well, maybe that didn't work so well. So maybe they go away from
sure,
that
sure.
altogether. Big game hunting as well. I could obviously do the Bears-Rams thing because I do believe the Bears come in here and kind of smack around Jared Goff a bit. But I'm going to take Arizona plus the 10.5. Looking at Kyler Murray pushing the ball downfield.
Whoa,
San Francisco,
I like that.
No George Kittle, so still some issues there.
I looked at that one, too.
Still some injuries in the running game. I think they make enough plays.
Ooh, I looked at that one, too. That was a tie. All right, we got some tough ones coming up.